This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Mark Domenic was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the director of pro personnel and then eventually the general manager during the early 2000s through the early 2010s. He joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. You can follow Mark on X on Twitter at Mark Domenic, D-O-M-I-N-I-K, NFL. You know, after Sunday, Mark, a lot of discussion about the performance of the Eagles defensively, and I kind of went through some of the all-time great Super Bowl defensive performances in my lifetime, you know, the 85 Bears, obviously, but your 2002 Buccaneers were on that list. I wonder, you know, were you watching Sunday and thinking, hearkening back to the team that you guys had in 2002 that destroyed the Raiders, destroyed the Eagles on the way to that Super Bowl? Because that was a hell of a defensive team, too. But where did you put that Eagles performance Sunday?
Well, you have to put it – I appreciate having me on, Kevin. That's awesome. It's a good memory, of course. I think you have to put that Eagles up there. The way they did it, you know, we were very fortunate. When we hit the postseason in 2002 for 2003 in the Super Bowl run, we just happened to run into not only the San Francisco 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, but the Oakland Raiders. All played West Coast offenses, and what was John Gruden? A West Coast offense genius. And so it really helped us kind of get honed in the postseason and be able to, you know, to take advantage of what people gave us. I think the Eagles defense, clearly we all know, is spectacular. When you go through the postseason and you're plus 12 in turnover ratio in four games, that's incredible to get that kind of a turnover ratio. So that speaks to Vic Fangio, speaks to the players. But I think the more fascinating things, as we've all talked about, is that they're able to do it without having to blitz. They were able to be so successful against that Kansas City front, which allowed them to make Kelce basically disappear in the game, which made everything easier for them to get them off the field. And when you play ball control, because it wasn't like they were, as you saw, they weren't running the ball successfully, but they kept running the ball. And Kellen Moore, you know, kept giving it to Saquon Barkley. And so in the end, the way you beat Patrick Mahomes is what they did. You kept him on the field for less than 23 minutes. That's a win. When you carry the ball for 38 minutes, as you know, it's impressive across the board. So it was a complete victory for the Eagles. And having started my career in Kansas City, internally I was rooting for the Chiefs, but externally I thought the Eagles were going to win this from day one. I was pretty much on the record with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you guys had Rich Gannon and the Raiders, and remember, didn't the center, and I forget his name, didn't he go AWOL like the morning of the Super Bowl? What am I remembering?
You're right, it was Barrett Robbins.
Barrett Robbins.
He ended up going south of the border, and we got wind of that, because I was the advanced scout then, so I would go out and see the opponents and write up the advanced report for our coaching staff just to say, you know, here's the strength of the offensive line, here's the weakness, here's the corner, you know, here's the guy you run at, here's the guy you run away from. You know, here's, you know, and on the same side, like, here's their deep threat. Anyway, Barrett Robbins was a beast. Like, he was a, you know, kind of the cog of the offensive line. So when I woke up that morning around 9 o'clock and I got wind that he disappeared, they don't know where he was, I was like, we just won the Super Bowl, because it was, he was that critical of a piece, I think, for that football team, and it just kind of threw them all off. And so when you think about awkward things that have happened at the Super Bowl, most of the times when those things happen, you think of like Eugene Robinson in Miami,
right?
They lose, and this same thing happened, and Rich Gannon kind of fell apart and started forcing the football, and our guys were in position to, you know, pick them off five times, which has never happened to Rich Gannon.
Yeah, that was the Eugene Robinson was the Denver Super Bowl, right? That they lost to Denver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it was in Miami, but they lost to Denver when he got arrested the night before.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so back to what Philadelphia accomplished, because it was against Mahomes, it was against Andy Reid, it was against the vaunted Chiefs, and the Chiefs didn't cross midfield until late in the third quarter when the outcome had already been decided. That's an amazing, you know, level of dominance. The final numbers, I've talked about it all week, Mark, they won't actually reflect the dominance because there were so many, you know, kind of garbage yards in the fourth quarter with the game already decided. But I'm curious, as you know, you were watching this game, were you surprised that it didn't seem like Kansas City tried something different? They just kept dropping Mahomes back against a pass rush that they could not block.
Two things that surprised me with Andy Reid. Number one, he usually doesn't get away from the run as hard as he got away from the run. And I know they only had a couple carries and were like for 1 yard or, you know, half yard. And so it was frustrating. You know, for a part of that game, when they're down 10-0, before the Cooper DeJean, you know, interception for a touchdown, I was watching the game going, here, the Kansas City Chiefs somehow are still in this game. Like, it was so dominant, to your point, that I was like, I can't believe that they go into the halftime somehow 10-0. That's a huge victory for Kansas City. But obviously Philadelphia took advantage of those things. So I thought going away from the run, to me, even though it wasn't successful, seemed like a surprise to me. And it kind of goes back to, I thought Pacheco would have an even bigger role offensively, just because of what I think the Eagles do in terms of defensive skills and way that they struggle sometimes with running backs out of the backfield, that to me, that was a surprise of the game. It wasn't Andy Reid-like. And, you know, Patrick obviously got uncomfortable quickly and stayed uncomfortable and actually started rushing everything he did to try to become that, you know, superhero guy that we had seen. I will sit here right now, though, Kevin, say, I think the Chiefs are going to be fine. I think what happened to them in that game is fixable. I think the pieces that they're missing are easy to acquire, or at least you know what you're going to acquire. So a lot of people that are trying to say, well, the dynasty's over, I don't think so. At the same point, you know, you look at the Eagles, and if they go back next year to the Super Bowl, which team's the real dynasty? It's amazing what they've been able to do over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it is. So let's go to that. We're talking to Mark Dominic, former NFL GM in Tampa. He does a lot of work for SiriusXM, NFL Radio. I here in D.C., there is, you know, there's no victory lap for being the team that moved the football best against Philadelphia's defense and being the last team to beat him and the only team to beat him since October. But it is encouraging, don't you think, that Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury, and this offense basically move the ball consistently against Philadelphia, even in the NFC Championship game, Mark? It was the turnovers that killed them, but they scored 36 points and turned it over five times in late December and won. What do you make of Washington?
No, I love where they are and what they've accomplished. I've always been a huge Dan Quinn fan. I tried to hire Dan Quinn as our defensive coordinator in Tampa before he ever got in the NFL. I've just known him for so long and just think so highly of him as a leader and as a person and as an intellect in terms of understanding the game. You know, enjoy Cliff Kingsbury one more year. I can't imagine him not being a head coach, assuming that we see the same kind of situation develop. He shows you when he's got a quarterback that he truly believes in what he can achieve. But I don't want to take anything away from Jaden Daniels. He's earned everything he's gotten in this league in such an early start. I think for the Commanders, I think it's, you know, certainly a great start by, you know, Adam as the GM, building this football team, getting things right, and now you just get to add on to it. Once you get the quarterback done, you suddenly now are in every hunt every year, no matter what. I think it's more of like just filling in some blanks at the Commanders, but they're going to be right there with the Eagles. We'll see where Dallas ends up, and the Giants still have some heavy lifting to do, but I don't see why the Commanders don't build off of what they just did. It's an amazing rookie campaign. There's a lot of victories there in Washington, It's hard not to think the future's not bright for a long time. And it's, you know, it's great for new ownership too to come in there and see this happen so quickly.
You said something that I think I agree with. I just want to make sure I heard it correctly. You know, they've got the quarterback. Therefore, that's the number one predictor of kind of a sustained opportunity to win over a period of time. You agree with that, right?
100%. Yes.
So where do you put him? In the NFC, where does Jaden Daniels rank among the quarterbacks?
Oh, quick buzz in my brain without thinking through this. I would say he's probably, I mean, what he was able to do this year, you've got to, I mean, I love to like think through it, but if you were to say, hey, let's redraft the quarterbacks in the NFC, you know, Minnesota, nope. I'll take Jaden Daniels over, you know, Detroit. I'd take him over Jordan Love based off of what he's done. You know, Chicago for sure. Arizona, San Francisco. Brock Purdy's going to be up there. I think a lot of people are too down on Brock Purdy for what he actually is and what he can do. I think he's a pretty talented quarterback. You know, St. Louis, Arizona, Dallas, Dak Prescott's still going to be up. I got to put him top five easy.
Well, in the NFC, I mean, we've made the case here. He's number one. In the NFC.
Like said,
yeah. You got him top five in the league, you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, easy. Yeah, that's what. Yeah. I think when you think about Michael Penix and Derek Carr and Bryce Young, I mean, everybody would rather have Jaden Daniels. Even Baker Mayfield. I would take Jaden Daniels over Baker Mayfield. So I agree. I was just trying to figure out, you know, where you place him overall, but easy. I'd say that it was that kind of performance. And he held, I mean, he's so mature and so composed for a young guy.
So what we saw is we saw a team in Philadelphia in their division that is just incredible roster-wise, dominant in the trenches. Washington, there's a gap between Washington and Philadelphia, even if you say what you just agreed with, which is they've got the best quarterback. So would you treat this offseason, especially given that Jaden's on a rookie deal, as a swing for the fences offseason?
No, and I know that probably frustrates some Commander fans. Like, you know, let's win and let's win now and let's try to win. I don't think you just let's go sign T. Higgins and let's go sign, you know, Chase Young back. You know, not Chase Young, of course not, but like somebody else.
Go trade for Myles Garrett.
Right, go trade for Myles Garrett, that kind of thing. I don't think I would do that. I think what I want to do is I really want to be able to like kick. I want Coleman to go inside a guard because I think he's gonna be amazing at guard, right? So I want to continue to bolster the offensive line and make sure that Jaden's out there for years to come and just, you know, be able to tick away at different spots. As good as Myles Garrett is, I don't want to give up all that collateral to, you know, understand that, yeah, I've got that piece, but it's 53 guys that got to come together. It's not just one. And the one you would trade away for, they've already got, which is quarterback. I don't trade for Myles Garrett in this situation. I would hold on to what we've got. I believe in the process in terms of what they can draft and what they can do. But I would focus on the offensive line, continue to focus there to say, how can I get Coleman inside to be the best five I can possibly have? To me, that's a big priority to me in the offseason.
Why do you like Coleman at guard?
I just think his length, I mean, I think he played well. Don't get me wrong. As a rookie, third rounder, and what he was able to do to come in there, I just think his length is perfect inside a guard. I think he'll be a really excellent all-pro type of a guard. I just think that that's his natural position, but he's able to play multiple. But when I watch him, I say, wow, he's good at tackle. Wow, I could just see him be such a better guard at the next level.
I mean, if they were to do that, they've got to get a left tackle. They're right. Not easy to find.
Yep.
How would you fix that?
Same as pass rushers, right? I would be more aggressive to trade collateral to go get one of these, you know, tackles in this draft class. Possibly, and to me, there's, you know, three or four that are going to go in the first round. Jack Campbell's going to go. Right now, they've got him projected, you know, top 10. I think when it's all said and done, he might find himself in the top five. You know, but I think that, you know, you can look at a couple other tackles that could go in the first round here that I think will go in the first round, and I think you could be aggressive there, and maybe you give up a one and a two to make sure you kind of get that all solidified. I'd feel very comfortable there. Or you go the opposite and you get, you know, go get the defensive pass rusher to put on that defensive side. But, you know, again, I liked what the Commanders did in the draft class last year. Obviously, they hit home runs across the board in different areas. Trust that. It worked. Why deviate from that?
You're talking about Campbell from LSU, right? Jaden's.
Yes,
he was with Jaden last year.
Yes, Campbell from LSU.
This is a good pass. pass rusher, edge pass rusher draft. I mean, I don't know how much thought you've given to it, and if it's not a lot yet, that's fine. We can move on. But they picked 29th. It's an unusual spot for them to be picking. Could they get their edge pass rusher? You know, Mark, they were terrible against the run. I mean, that was really their issue all season long. Can they find an edge-setting defensive run stopper who can also rush the passer in this draft late in the first round?
I always believe you can, yes. I mean, I think that when you kind of look, that's one position where sometimes the edge-setter kind of guys, I mean, remember, you know, guys that have Hall of Fame jackets. Cam Jordan went, you know, in the 20s.
Sure.
Right? So it's that kind of guy usually can be there in the 20s because he may not be the speedster who runs a 4.55 at the combine. He might be the 4.7 guy that's a power. Think of George Karloftis, right? What he's been able to do as a power player for the Chiefs, and he was at the bottom of the first round. So I think you can find that guy in that kind of situation. And I think this year, like you said, is strong enough to be able to say there's going to be depth there to be able to do that.
Where do you think Myles Garrett lands? Because part of the conversation here is, okay, let's say that people agree with you. I actually think they should swing big and go for it. But part of it is, I don't want to see him land in Philadelphia.
You sound like the Giants owners right now. I don't know. It sounds a little similar.
Well, I mean, can you imagine him and Jalen Carter together?
No, sadly, I think the Eagles are probably one of because of, you know, again, when I was GM, Howie and I made multiple trades. We were kind of the first GMs that really started getting aggressive with trading, and now it's kind of in vogue. But, you know, Howie's always been a wheeler and a dealer, always looks to do that. They have, I think, the collateral and the cap space to be a team that's in it. I just, you know, we'll see what Andrew Berry does, but, you know, when you start to, like, let players, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but, like, when you say this is your best player in your defense and he's going to dictate himself out of the organization, it's going to continue to push the factory of sadness deeper into the sadness, right? It's going to be like, okay, yeah, we're gonna get these two first-rounders, but I don't think they've proven to me that they can draft well enough. I don't, you know, I get worried, like, if I'm the owner of the Cleveland Browns, I'm not into this. And I think it's going to be a lot. Instead of just assuming he's going to get moved, I wouldn't assume that right now. Still, I think you got to fight to keep him on that roster because you got to bring Myles Garrett in and give him the plan. But I do feel like you do. If there's a team, the most dangerous team is. I could see Howie Roseman going, "Hey, look, we are in a good window. You know, we have a chance to, you know, to repeat. And you know, I'm willing to give up the collateral because of how young our other players are. It's just it's such a big bite of the apple financially." That you got to think that if Myles Garrett is getting moved and he's, you know, his last deal was around 25 a year, knowing where the defensive ends are now, you're probably going to have to tack on a couple of years and add $70 to $80 million to that contract.
Right, but they're going to lose Josh Sweat. I mean, you don't re-sign Sweat if you go after Garrett.
Right. The thing with Josh Sweat is there is some medical concerns that people have about him. And so it's something that he dealt with coming out of school. It's something or college. It's something he's dealt with a little bit in the NFL that may temper the actual desire to go get, as well as Josh played and certainly played great in the Super Bowl. You know, those are the things that fans and people on the outside may not know that, you know, 31 other clubs kind of have a sense of. So we'll see what happens with Josh Sweat. I hope he's the best. I hope he makes a fortune. I always root for players, but in this situation, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Josh yet.
What's the most interesting thing in the upcoming offseason free agency period when we get to the draft that you have honed in on?
Quarterback carousel is going to be the most interesting. What happens with Matt Stafford in the Rams? You know, and I've said, you know, on television, on radio in the last month that I'm not so sure Stafford comes back as good as he's played and how important he's been. I don't know if the Rams are going to want to go to $50, $60 million a year. I just don't know if they're going to want to do that. And so that becomes the start of the whole carousel. Does, you know, the sleeper name I put out with the Rams is don't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers ends up a Ram. And it's a kind of a bizarre twist of players throughout the National Football League. Kirk Cousins, and where does he end up, you know, in terms of Atlanta eating that or moving away from him, knowing that, you know, obviously Michael's the future, Penix. And could he end up at the Giants, who needs stability there instead of, like, restarting all over again? And, you know, do I think that Kirk Cousins can provide some stability? I think so. I don't think the Giants roster is as bad as I think everybody thinks it is. I think, you know, with Neighbors now, it certainly gives them the legitimate number one. So it's the quarterback carousel, because I think at the end, there aren't enough quarterbacks this year as we've seen in years past, and therefore somebody's going to walk into 2025 and be in a really bad spot, whether that's the Raiders, whether maybe it's Seattle, and they were, you know, Geno Smith's the guy and something doesn't go right. But I think it usually starts with quarterbacks. It's going to end with quarterbacks, and it's going to be how many quarterbacks actually go in the first round.
My producer, Denton, has gotten on me because all season long I kept saying, the Jets' problem when I watch the Jets is not Aaron Rodgers. He's nowhere near the top of their problem list. They couldn't stop anybody for some reason this year. Their field goal kicker kept missing kick after kick in big spots. So I'm just curious, the idea of him, you know, with Sean McVay in L.A., do you think Aaron Rodgers has something left? What did you think of his season?
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron, as we watched him through the season, I thought he started playing better and better as the season went on. I think it was like one of those things where it was a weird year. I mean, if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season, I would have thought Garrett Williams probably would have 120, 130 catches. I mean, that's the way I thought it was going. It never quite got into that rhythm at all. But I don't, when I watch Aaron throw, when I watch Aaron, you know, under pressure, when I watch him towards the end of the season, I said, look, he's still got another season or two in him. And I think you can win with Aaron. I know it's been awfully a terrible situation. Just tell me this, Kevin, make sure that in like whatever it is, 6 years from now, Jordan Love doesn't go to the Jets after the Packers. So we stop this trend of Green Bay Packer quarterbacks going to the Jets.
Favre. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine the way Stafford played. L.A. will let him walk.
Only if they have a plan in place. But L.A.'s not stupid. They're not going to walk around like, well, we can't get a deal. Let's just figure it out going forward. They've gone and tried to draft a couple of quarterbacks. That really hasn't worked out in the mid-rounds. You know, I think it's only if they already know that they've got a veteran to come back in and be in place. Whether that's Kirk Cousins, whether that's Aaron Rodgers, I just think Aaron Rodgers, West Coast, Sean McVay, I just think I wouldn't sleep on that at all. I think that's something that could be in the weeds that you could work out before you know what's going to happen with Stafford.
You've mentioned Kirk's name a couple times, and everybody listening knows I'm a massive Kirk Cousins fan, and I think it was one of the big mistakes they ever made letting him go. But he didn't look right physically midway through the season, and he did finally admit that he had a hurt shoulder, etc. But do you think he's got anything left that teams will say, wait a minute, maybe, you know, Achilles takes some time, then he got hurt again. What do you think he's got left?
I think he still has stuff left. I still think it matters to Kirk. I think he's a very good quarterback who hasn't quite gotten over the hump in terms of, you know, what you expect in the postseason. But he's had to, you know, fight doubters his whole life. And I think that where the Giants sit, and maybe there's another club, maybe it's the Raiders. It could be a situation like that. But I think where these teams sit, it could be the Titans. But I think where these teams set, when you look at Kirk Cousins, I feel comfortable that with another offseason, like you said, another offseason away from an Achilles, with a legit number one on a team that, again, I think is a little bit more loaded, that has enough talent that you feel decent you're going to get the ball back. Because that's the thing that happened with Atlanta, too. They fired their defensive coordinator for a reason.
Yeah.
They were terrible in defense. And Jimmy Lake. He's been around Coach Morris for a long time. They know each other well, and it's not easy to fire your best friend unless it's bad. And that's where they sat. And so I think that that's also part of this entire equation. So I would still believe in Kirk Cousins and put him in charge of a football team in 2025. I would have zero concerns about doing that.
By the way, mentioning the Giants, they've had some – I thought that defensively they were talented last year. They just obviously still had major quarterback issues.
100%. That's exactly how I feel. When you break them down, you know, and some of the guys that even this last year, Drew Phillips, their corner they drafted in the third round, is really, really good. Like, that's a guy that if you took him in the first round, you'd feel good about it. So they have pieces defensively that I think you have to pay attention to in terms of what they can do. It's solidifying the offensive line, finding the real back again, and getting the quarterback taken care of. And I think I just have a hard time believing Brian Daboll, you know, Joe Shane have a chance to go, you know, 4-13 because they have a rookie quarterback. As patient as Giants ownership is, I don't think they're that patient anymore. I think they're going to have to get a veteran in there to show that they can get it back on track.
All right, two more, and I appreciate the time. Number one is, what will Minnesota do? Will they re-sign Darnold? And if not, is there a spot for Darnold somewhere after those final two games of the year, which were not pretty?
Part of me thinks Darnold might be back for a one-year deal. Those last two games really hurt. And I know it's sad because you take the entire, you know, you should take the entire work of the season and put it all together. But I would ask any fan, anybody that's listening, including yourself, if you were the Las Vegas Raiders,
that's fine,
and you signed Sam Darnold, the next morning when you wake up, are you like, okay, we've got that position solidified, we're good, let's go get something else? Or are you like, I feel good, but I don't know if I feel great about that. And I think that's where Sam is. And so I think there's a chance that the Vikings could bring him back for one more season, let he and JJ kind of work it through, see what is going on. Or he's going to have to do a prove-it deal somewhere else, where it's maybe a 1 or 2 year deal. It's going to be more in the Baker Mayfield world. It's certainly not going to be I don't see the Kirk Cousins world coming out where it's 40 a year. I'm happy for him. I just think if you're going to sign Sam Darnold, you better bring that system with him and not put him in a brand new system.
Right. All right, last one. I don't know if you've looked at it closely enough, but Sanders or Cam Ward, which is the first quarterback that should come off the board?
I think Cam Ward will come off before Sanders, and I have not had a chance to work with either one of those guys in person yet, in terms of like getting another character and interview prepping and all that stuff. But I just think Cam's a more natural passer. And look, I appreciate Deion and his greatness, but you do feel like you're getting so much that you shouldn't get. Like, Shedeur Sanders shouldn't have cameras following him around. Shedeur Sanders shouldn't be, when he's doing an interview with the clubs, he shouldn't have his dad calling in just like yucking it up and talking to the coaches. It's not the way you want to handle it. I know his dad wants to be involved, but there is a business here too. And I know his dad knows it's a business, but then let it make it a business, right? Instead of making it a show. And I feel like there's too much show right now, and it's disappointing.
Really enjoyed it, Mark. Thank you so much. Hope you're well.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Yeah, Mark Dominic, longtime NFL, executive GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and now on SiriusXM NFL Radio at Mark Dominic NFL X and Twitter. So, do you want a trip to Sin City? You can win big and live it up in Vegas. It's the slam dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slamdunk.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So Mark Dominic was great. Really enjoyed having him on the show. He, as a former GM, would not go all in on Myles Garrett with where Washington is right now. I was actually going to talk more about Myles Garrett on the show today because Bill Barnwell just wrote a column today talking about the best possible landing spots for Myles Garrett. And I'll get to those in a moment, but I wanted to read a couple of emails. I got this from Greg actually yesterday. It was subject in the email, urgent, Myles Garrett. And Greg writes, hey, Kevin, I've been a listener for over 15 years. Love the show. It's just crazy to hear that people don't want to trade for a game-changing pass rusher. And what's even crazier is that you have to explain why we would need to trade for him. We have an X factor on offense, and this guy would definitely be an X factor on defense and would elevate the play of everybody around him. Unfortunately, this ain't a TJ Duckett trade. So you can't let this guy go to the Eagles because it will be even harder to get the division, and it's definitely a move they, as in the Eagles, would make. We have to go get this guy like yesterday. The time is now to make a move to get us over the hump. The reference, for those of you that don't remember, to the TJ Duckett trade is that Washington back in 2006, before the season started during the preseason, they lost Clinton Portis in a preseason game to an injury. It wasn't for the season, but Clinton, in his competitive best in a preseason game, decided to chase down a guy who had picked off a pass for the Bengals and tackle him, and he separated his shoulder. Anyway, Washington went and traded a third and a conditional fourth to the Falcons for TJ Duckett. It was actually part of a three-way deal. I don't want to get into the specifics of it, but it was rumored at the time, reported at the time, that Washington really feared the Eagles trading for TJ Duckett, which is why they went and made the deal. So that's the reference that Greg makes. Yeah, Myles Garrett and TJ Duckett, no, you should have a little bit more concern about where Myles Garrett lands than where TJ Duckett lands. You know, that was, look, those were the Vinny Serrato days. I know Gibbs was the coach, but Vinny and Dan were very much involved in personnel. And that was one of those deals in which, you know, basically teams lined up back then to, you know, get Vinny and Dan on the phone, Dan in particular, so that they could take a lot more than what was required for, you know, they got treasure for our trash over and over again. Anyway, yeah, I mean, look, I personally think there's a little bit of straw man in that email. I think most people, I know that we've had a couple of calls last week, and a couple of people, you know, kind of tweeting or emailing in that they wouldn't, that they would take the Mark Domenech position, which is let's not give up future draft collateral for, you know, one player. And it would be significant draft collateral. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think I have to talk people into how great Myles Garrett is. I think most NFL fans and most of our fans that follow the league understand how great Myles Garrett is and the immediate impact he would have on the weakness of the team last year, which was its defense, which was, it. You know, I like some of the players. We've said it a million times, and I think Frankie Louvu really is a dynamic, versatile tool that they have. But there's nobody on their defense that comes close to Myles Garrett. And in addition to him being, you know, arguably the best pass rusher of his generation, he's also an outstanding run stopper. So you would kill two birds with one stone. And, you know, I've equated it to, you're not trading for one player. You're trading for the equivalent of really like two players. He's that great. And then everybody else would benefit from his presence. You know, the double teams of, let's just say, Duron and John stayed, and you didn't have to make one of them a part of the deal. And Johnny Newton and Dorrance Armstrong, who I thought had an underrated season. You wouldn't bring Fowler Jr. back, obviously, if you traded for Myles Garrett Jr. And, you know, some of the youth, some of the players that stepped in and played in the interior, Sheldon Day, guys like him. You're going to elevate their performance. You're going to make it easier on that next level of your defense. You know, hopefully that includes Bobby Wagner. It will certainly include Frankie Louvu. So I don't think there's a lot of convincing. I think there are some people, you know, that feel that way. And look, a former NFL general manager just told us he wouldn't do it. I'll tell you what, though, man. I don't want to see him end up in Philadelphia, and it really does reek of a Howie Roseman kind of a deal. If they let Josh Sweat roll, and they don't have his salary. Basically, it would cost them another $7 million on average the next 2 years to bring in Myles Garrett. There's trade collateral, clearly. And they'd have to extend him. You're going to have to give him a new contract. But to see him on that defense next year, look, our offense, I don't fear anybody. I don't fear anybody, and I don't think they do with Jaden Daniels and hopefully an upgraded offensive team. But that would be one hell of a defense on paper if they added him. And I think our defense would immediately change from, you know, a bottom third, bottom, you know, third kind of a defense, a bottom quarter run-stopping defense into top half of the league on paper immediately with that trade. I also got this from Garrett. Garrett wrote, "Kevin, I'm surprised you haven't made this comparison yet. The 2024 Commanders are the inverse of the 2021 Rams, but the lesson is the same. Go all in. The Rams had a loaded roster but a mediocre quarterback, so Sean McVay said, to hell with the picks, and traded them for Matt Stafford. Let's not forget he also traded Jared Goff as part of that deal. Washington is in the inverse position. We have our elite quarterback, but a mediocre supporting cast. Having an elite quarterback is so valuable that it's the equivalent to having a stacked roster, but no quarterback. Both are just, that's true, by the way. I agree with that. You know, if you've got a stacked roster and no quarterback, that's a lot more players that you have that are good versus one that you don't. But I think it's the equivalent of having the elite quarterback and a substandard roster around it. It's just the weighted value of the position. But he writes, the Rams proved both are situations in which you are one or two bold moves away from true Super Bowl contention. The Rams proved that by going all in, and it worked. Jaden on his rookie contract gives you your best window now. Go all in and trade for Myles Garrett. By the way, remember this, too, about the 2021 Rams. They acquired Von Miller at the trade deadline, and they added Odell Beckham Jr. shortly after the trade deadline, who I think was a free agent. I don't think they traded for Odell Beckham Jr. I could be wrong. They did not add Jalen Ramsey that year. They added him the year before. Sean McVay, since he got to L.A., has been an all-in dude and doesn't care about draft picks for the most part. And they went for it, and it paid off. They won the Super Bowl. Von Miller was a big part of it. Odell Beckham Jr. during their playoff run was a big part of it, even though he got injured in the Super Bowl game. And obviously Matt Stafford was a major upgrade over Jared Goff, and he ended up being critical to them winning the Super Bowl. I am with you guys. I disagree with Mark Domenech, who seems to, you know, and I loved him as a guest, seems to have preferred a track which would be a little bit more conservative and not giving up that draft capital. Bill Barnwell wrote this morning about Myles Garrett's trade fits. Which teams make the most sense for the Browns star? I'll tell you who he thinks makes the most sense when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Wizards in action last night, their final game before the All-Star break. They couldn't overcome the Pacers despite 42 from Jordan Poole. They lose 134-130 in overtime. They're now 9-45 as they head into the All-Star break. Not good. The Red Sox agreed to a 3-year, $120 million deal with Alex Bregman. So that's another big free agent off the market in Major League Baseball. Pitchers and catchers started reporting yesterday and today across Major League Baseball. Joe Burrow said he's willing to restructure his deal to keep Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. He said that on Pardon My Take of Barstool. The Jets made it official. They're parting ways with Aaron Rodgers. The team announced in a tweet and a story on their website today that they're going to go a different direction. Matt Patricia is headed back to the defensive side of the football after serving as an offensive coordinator with Bill Belichick in his final year in New England. He's now going to take the defensive coordinator job at Ohio State, replacing Jim Knowles, who left the championship Buckeyes to take the job at Penn State. And that's what's trending.
So Bill Barnwell has weighed in with one of his very, you know, long but very interesting columns on Myles Garrett and potential trades and potential value compensation, etc. First of all, he suggests right from the beginning that there's a decent chance Andrew Berry, the GM in Cleveland, is not going to trade Myles Garrett, that it just, you know, doesn't necessarily make sense for them to move on from a player of his caliber. Then he talks about how still there's a lot of smoke there and he wants out. He could hold Cleveland's feet to the fire. We'll see. He talks about sort of compensation, and he said, you know, he writes, it certainly seems like a first-round pick is the bare minimum for Garrett. Two first-rounders might be a big ask for a player approaching 30, even one as talented as Garrett, but it all depends on who is sending those picks and where they land. If a team's offering a top 10 pick in the 2025 draft, it might not need to offer much else. If it's the Eagles, and he uses the Eagles as an example, sending the number 32 pick, there would need to be something more substantial as a second asset going Cleveland's way, especially given that their future picks in 2026 and 2027 are also likely to fall towards the bottom of those rounds. Which teams should be involved with bids like that? That's where he gets into it. And he basically goes through teams. He immediately says there's no way that Myles Garrett goes to an AFC North opponent. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh off the table. Then there are teams like Denver, Houston, and the Rams that don't have a need for edge rushers. Then there are teams that aren't close. You know, he wants to get traded to a contender: Carolina, Vegas, New England, New Orleans, Tennessee. Then he writes teams that could be involved in a Garrett trade as a third party, you know, element to it: Jacksonville, Minnesota, the Giants, and the Jets. And then he gets into unlikely but plausible: Arizona, Atlanta, Dallas, Green Bay, Kansas City, Miami, San Francisco, Seattle, Tampa Bay. And then he gets to teams that Garrett puts over the top. Four teams: Buffalo, Detroit, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Philadelphia Eagles. And then he writes, there's a sweet spot for this trade. And he writes three teams: Chicago, Indianapolis, and then he saves Washington for last, where he writes, "I've saved the best candidate for last. The Commanders are the most obvious and consequential landing spot for Garrett. They have the championship potential, the financial flexibility, and the clear and obvious need for pass rushing help. All of this starts with Jaden Daniels. The rookie sensation is still on a bargain deal for three more years before the Commanders would even have to consider a fifth-year option. They will likely give Daniels a new deal in 2027 if he continues on this path, but that would still give them a huge runway where his cash and cap hit are team-friendly figures. They have $80 million in cap space in 2025, so while they look to add help at receiver and potentially on the left side of the offensive line, Adam Peters and company will have plenty of resources to devote to the defense. Dan Quinn was able to coax better-than-expected play out of his defense in his first season as Commanders coach. That's debatable. But some of those moves were short-term additions. Dante Fowler Jr., Dorrance Armstrong, and then he writes, the Commanders feel good about the middle of their line with John Allen and Daron Payne and promising second rounder Johnny Newton, but they're going to be in the market for edge rushing help this offseason. And then he writes, Garrett would be the transformative player Quinn's defenses have usually needed to thrive. When Quinn has built top 10 defenses, they've required superstars to make things work, such as Bobby Wagner, Earl Thomas, and Richard Sherman in Seattle, and Micah Parsons in Dallas. Garrett would give Quinn a chess piece who makes everybody else on the defense a little scarier, which could be hugely valuable for a team that's going to need to draft a lot of defensive help over the next few years. The Commanders have the number 29 pick in the April draft, and they would likely that would likely be in play as part of the Garrett deal. Would they be willing to throw Allen into the mix? He writes, the 30-year defensive tackle's in the final year of his contract, and Newton seems to be ready to move into the starting role next to Payne. The Browns have Dalvin Tomlinson on the interior, but Allen would give them a second impact tackle and soften the blow of losing Garrett. Washington could also get a third team involved as a potential landing spot for Allen. Either way, if the Browns are actually willing to deal Garrett, the Commanders should be the first team they call. I mean, he's talking about a first and John Allen. I don't think that's enough. But, so you and I were talking during the break. First of all, if you told me that it's number 29 in John Allen, I am jumping to make that move. Like, quickly get it done before they decide they actually want more than that. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, if that's all it takes, why was that done yesterday? You know what I mean? Like, you do that as soon as possible, if not sooner.
Yeah. Secondly, there are other options here that we should consider. There's been some discussion that Max Crosby could be available. I don't know why Pete Carroll would want in his first year not to have Max Crosby, but I'm a big Max Crosby fan, and he is younger than Myles Garrett. He's not better than Myles Garrett, but he is an excellent player. So I would want to look into other players that might be available. You know, there's been some discussion that a guy like Danielle Hunter could be available. I think, how old's Danielle Hunter now? He's getting up there in age. He's also had, you know, injuries at various points in his career. This is also a draft that has some big-time edge pass rushers that may or may not be there at number 29, but could they make a move for a guy that they believe can step in and be a factor right away and be a star down the road? You know, those are some of the things, you know, that they'll consider in addition to, you know, Myles Garrett isn't the only answer. I'm not suggesting that. I do know this, that he's the one we know. We don't know about the draft. That's always a crapshoot. I don't know that Max Crosby's available. Or somebody else. Trey Hendrickson, it certainly sounds like at the very least, Cincinnati might franchise tag him to keep him. Don't you think, Denton?
Something tells me Max Crosby might be available. You know, you look at like what they're doing in Vegas, not a lot moving.
How much younger is he than Garrett?
2 years. He's 20. Yeah, he's 27. Myles Garrett's 29. Trey Hendrickson is 30.
Yeah.
Those seem to be like the top three available guys. I can't imagine that the Texans move on from Danielle Hunter. Keep him and Will Anderson together for another year as you bolster the offensive line to protect C.J. Stroud.
They were good on defense. They were good everywhere.
Well, I mean, Will
defense.
Anderson, he was sensational this year, I think.
Incredible. I mean, Crosby's got 2 years left on his current deal. So at 27, you'd probably be looking to extend him in the same way you'd be looking to extend Garrett at 29. But the current contracts for both of those players are pretty similar. I'm a big Max Crosby fan. I like Max Crosby a lot. I think Myles Garrett is a total game changer for this franchise if they were to acquire him and he lines up on defense. And if you're telling me that it's not two firsts and a night two selection and a player and it's less than that, then we're really, I think, in a...
You're jumping on that. Because that if it's only a one first and one player, the idea of mortgaging your future is completely out the window at that point.
Yeah, I don't see it. I see two firsts minimum, especially at picking 29. So, Bill Barnwell thinks Washington is the sweetest of spots for Myles Garrett. We shall see. Max Crosby, yes, I do know he missed several games this year, but I don't think he missed any up until this year. I think this was the first year that he was injured. And he went back-to-back years, 12.5, 14.5 sacks in 22 and 23. Thanks to Mark Dominic, who joined us on the show. Thanks to Eric Edholm, who joined us on the show. Enjoy the rest of the day. Back tomorrow. Chris Russell is up next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.